Their bodies are in the grave. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. But I believe God gives the saints in heaven a temporary tabernacle like their earthly body while they're in heaven. I say that because when Peter, James, and John stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, there appeared with the Lord Jesus Moses and Elijah. And they knew them, though they were not introduced to them. But wasn't Moses' body buried in Nebo? What was that they were looking at? Body was buried. Elijah's body was buried. I believe that the Lord gives these a temporary tabernacle to dwell in, like their mortal body, though in perfection. Well, that's a matter of discussion. But our loved ones who have died in Christ are there, far better than they ever were on the face of the earth. And dear believer, you will be there. We speak of the realms of the blessed, of that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what will it be to really be there? We speak of its pathway of gold, its walls decked with jewels so rare, its wonders and pleasures untold, but what will it be to really be there? We speak of its freedom from sin, from sorrow, temptation and care, from trials without and within, but what will it be to be there? We speak of a glorious day when the Lord will descend from the air. In a moment he'll catch us away, then we'll know what it's like to be there. You will be there. What a glorious company. But what are the blessings of this place called heaven? As we have said, God cannot tell us much about heaven, what is there, because we don't have the central equipment to receive the information. Our points of reference are so limited, so time-bound and earthly, he couldn't tell us. But he does tell us what is not in heaven, and that we can understand. That helps us. He tells us the blessings of the place, first of all, negatively. What is not there? He tells us there is no curse there. In the Bible, there was a curse for three reasons. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And thank God, cruel sinners will ne'er again set it not our glorious Lord. Will never be again the curse of hanging on the tree. It tells us there's a curse for broken law. And in heaven, there'll be no lawbreakers. We're told that there's a curse for not loving the Lord Jesus. Cursed is everyone that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ. But everyone in heaven is a lover of Christ. No curse there. And there's no night there. What do you think about that, Mrs. Kent? And you sisters who have families. Oh, how many a time, how nice it is to get them all buttoned down at last. Night, oh, thank the Lord, and sit down and just have a wee quiet cup of tea. What is night? Night is the time when the weary take their rest. No night. I used to wonder, is that really so wonderful? But of course, we will never be weary in heaven. There will be no need for rest or the restoration of our energies. There's no night there. There's no created light of the sun there. There's no reflected light of the moon there. There's no expendable light of the candle there. But the light is the Lamb thereof. Think about this for a moment. the roseate, shadowless light of the Lamb will illumine everything we see in heaven, eternally reminding us of the cost to God to get us there. Do no see there. I'm a Scot. Spent a lot of my growing up years by the sea, and I love the sea to this day. The lakes, to me, they're pretty, but they're not the sea. Oh, I love the sea. It's changing face. Every hour it changes as the light changes. I love the sea. No sea in heaven. Is that really a blessing? Well, the sea, of course, in the Bible speaks of defilement. The wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, which casteth up mire and dirt. No sea, no defilement there. And the sea speaks of great distance. Separation. I'm no good at that. But I've spent a great deal of my life being separated from my loved ones. And homesickness has been part of my life experience. One time I was leaving for meetings in the car. I got packed and three of my little grandchildren were in the house watching this whole process of getting packed, and they were not happy that I was leaving. I got the stuff in the car, finally gave them all a hug, and my wife, and got into the car, and the three little ones were standing at the screen door, and each of them were crying their hearts out. I just made it round the corner and pulled over and just had a good ball. I'm no good at that. Separation is hard for all of us. But beloved, the day will come when we'll never, ever again say goodbye in heaven. We don't know much about the language of heaven. There are a few facetious jokes about it. But we don't know much about the language of heaven. We know at least three words of the language of heaven, and that's all. We know the word hallelujah will be there, and the word amen will be there, and the blessed name of Jesus will be there. That's about all we know about the language of heaven. That will be there. But we do know one word that will not be there. Goodbye. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. No sea. And no temple. Well, what do you think about that? Wouldn't you think there'd be a little chapel on every corner? Pop in and have a prayer meeting, a little song, time of praise. Everywhere you go, little chapels, little temples. Oh, no temple. Why not? Because the Lord is the temple. Everything we do and everything we say and sing will indeed be an act of worship unto the Lord. No temple in heaven. But personally and physically, there will be some things that will not be there. There will be no death there. Thank God. Thank God, no death. No cemeteries on the hillsides of glory. No undertakers, well, hopefully there'll be saved undertakers there, but they won't be practicing their profession, because there'll be nothing to do. No death. Death is separation. No sorrow. What is sorrow? Sorrow is the consciousness of lack. The sorrow of poverty is the conscious lack of the necessities of life. The sorrow of loneliness is the conscious lack of a friend. The sorrow of bereavement is the conscious lack of a loved one. The ultimate sorrow is the conscious lack of God, which will be the sorrow of the lost in hell. No God. The ultimate outcome of their own choice. They wanted to live without God, and they wanted to live without Christ, and God gave them the consequences of their choice. They will die without God and die without Christ and spend eternity without Him. But in heaven, no sorrow and no tears. No tears of joy. I was a wee fellow, I contracted scarlet fever. And in our country, the distant put a board on the door that said, "Scarlet fever, keep out." In our country, in those days, they took you away to the fever hospital. And we were kids. Those who had been to the fever hospital came back with the most horrendous tales of what went on in the fever hospital. And they usually came, it seemed, at night with an ambulance, and men in uniforms would come and take you away to the fever hospital. And we'd be off there for a week or two recovering. And I remember I got scarlet fever, and sure enough, they came at night, these men in uniform, and they wrapped me up in blankets and put me in the ambulance and took me away to the fever hospital. I was there for a week or two, and at last, I was 6 years old, they came and told me that I could go home, and they took me out to a little outhouse and duly hosed me off and fumigated me. And as I was being dressed, a shadow fell across the floor, and I looked up, and it was my daddy. I saw him standing there. I ran into his arms and broke down in tears. And he said, "What are you crying for, son? I thought you'd be glad to see me." He knew, of course. Those were tears of joy. In heaven, we will never weep a tear of joy. Why not? Because tears are the evidence of limitation. When we reach the limit of our emotion of joy or sorrow, we overflow in tears. And we'll never weep in heaven for joy, because we shall have the capacity for the fullness of joy. And we'll never know sorrow. Never know the lack of anything. We shall have everything we ever hoped for, and 10,000 times more. No tears. No pain. Some of you sitting here just barely making it through the meeting, I know. The back, the head, the heart. What is pain? Pain is not pleasant, but it is necessary. It is part of the alarm system. That's the problem of the leper in Africa. He doesn't have pain in his extremities. And you go into the leper villages and minister to them, and you see them with no fingers and no toes and no extremities, because they don't feel pain. Pain is not pleasant, but it's a necessary part of the alarm system to tell us something is wrong. We go to the doctor, we say, "Doctor, I have a pain," and it's right here. In heaven, no pain, because nothing will ever go wrong. No alarms ever needed. No pain. Positively, we will follow a heavenly walk every day. We will walk in a street of pure, transparent gold. I read in the Reader's Digest a little parable some time ago about a man who was drawing near the end of his life and seemingly had a conversation with the angel of death. As the angel of death came down and said, "It's time to go," he said, "Oh, please, can I take some of my gold with me?" "No, no, you can't bring your gold." He pled with the angel, because he was a very rich man. "Let me please just take one suitcase of my gold." "All right," said the angel, "bring it." And so he went to the bank, got a suitcase of gold, and was at last transported to the gate, according to this parable. And as he stood at the gate, the angel at the gate said, "And what is this in your suitcase?" "Oh," he opened it up, "full of gold." And the angel looked at it and then said, "Why did you bring Sidewalk up here?" I thought it was kind of a good parable, because gold is what we will walk on in the glory. We'll follow a heavenly walk, and we'll be full of happy wonder.
Just imagine opening our eyes in heaven, walking around and seeing sights we never saw, hearing sounds the like of which we never heard, full of wonder. And we'll fall in holy worship to the Lord who gave his life for us. Now the Lord Jesus said in John 14 he was coming again. Why was he coming? Did you notice that verse? Why he was coming again? That where I am, there ye may be also. When our Bill, our youngest boy, JB's younger brother, was a wee chap about 3 years old, he had a very nice little habit I enjoyed. He would come to the bathroom every morning when I was shaving and getting ready for work, and I would pop him up on the vanity, and we'd have a little morning conference about things that are important to little red-headed, blue-eyed boys. And I enjoyed our little morning conference every day. One morning I was leaving to go away on business rather early and didn't want to waken the children, so I closed the bathroom door and locked it and tried to be as quiet as I could. But not long was I shaving when a little knock came to the door about 18 inches off the floor. And I knew it was Bill. So I thought I'd play a trick on him, and I didn't answer him. So I put my mouth down to where I thought his ear would be, and I said in the roughest, gruffest voice I could muster, "What do you want?" There was a silence for a moment. Then he gave me an answer he must have learned in Psychology 101. I don't know where they get that course, but all the kids get it. They know how to handle their parents. He gave me an answer I didn't expect. I expected him to say, "I want to come in, Daddy." But he didn't. He said, "I want you, Daddy." That was fundamentally different. I pulled open the door. I gathered up my little red head, looked into his blue eyes, and I said, "Why do you want me, son?" "Oh, I want you, Daddy, because I love you." "Why does he want you in heaven?" "Oh, because you're such a beautiful Christian. And you're so faithful and profitable in his service. And he cannot wait to decorate heaven with your presence." Well, maybe not quite. My dear friend, he wants you there just because he loves you. Don't we want to be near the people we love? Don't we want the people we love to be near us? And his love is real and intimate. And he wants you to be with him just because he loves you. The Lord has said, "Behold, I make all things new." On us a new name. That name on our forehead will be a diadem of beauty and a badge of authority as we extend his empires throughout his everlasting coastlines. On us a new name. Above us a new heaven. Beneath us a new earth. Around us a new city. In us a new song. And before us forever new revelations of God in his glory, the Father, the Son, through the eternal Spirit. But we haven't read about the, haven't spoken about the supreme blessing of heaven. What is the greatest of all the blessings of heaven? Verse 4 of chapter 22 says it. "And they shall see his face." Beloved, that is the supreme blessing. Let me tell you my story. Most of you have heard it. If you haven't, I tell it because it was a transforming experience for me as a young Christian. It changed the focus of my thinking. I was flying out of a jungle airstrip in Burma when I got noticed that my release number had come up. war had ended. I was going to go home and get out. I had to fly back to Bombay, west coast of India, pick up a ship. But thousands of men were likewise converging on Bombay to get troop ships home. Among these, about a couple of hundred of their crew like myself. We got to Bombay, and there were many, many thousands of men, and the 200 or so of us who were air crew. Every day was posted the various ships that were coming in and who was assigned to go on those troop ships. Every day we went, and the 200 of us didn't appear on any list. Day after day, and it was the monsoon, I remember it well. Prickly heat, oh, door. It was just miserable. But at last, a name went up. Our 200 names only on the SS. I forget. Anyway, we were posted to the ship. What we didn't know at that time was it was not a troop ship. It was, in fact, we were the overflow of all the other troop ships, and we were going to go back on a civilian liner, cruise ship, had been refitted. Wow! 3 weeks on board a cruise ship, 200 of us. I tell you, we were looking forward to that. And we got on board, and we all had cabins on the top deck. Oh, boy, I was delighted, because we were in pretty poor physical shape at this time. Most of us had malaria, I had dengue fever, and actually I was 148 pounds, having lost a great deal of weight through it. So we were glad for this. It wasn't until we were a day out to sea till we discovered we were not alone on the ship. But there were about 1,000 Italian prisoners of war down below on the lower decks, and they were going to be taken back to Italy and set free. We had the run of the boat deck, beautifully, luxury. But at the end of the boat deck, we could look down on the piece of the deck where these Italian boys, the only part they had was a piece of deck as long as the ship was wide. And they would come out every evening and pack that little place. And in the evening times, many of them had guitars and mandolins, and many of them had beautiful singing voices, and they would sing of home, home sweet home. And we enjoyed this every evening. We'd go back there and lean on the rail and listen to their songs as they were going home. Some of them had not been home for years. We could feel the tension rising as we went up through the Red Sea, through the Suez Canal, past the Straits of Messina, Stromboli and Vesuvius, and down into Naples Bay. And at last we docked in Naples. From our high vantage point on the top deck, we could see over the sheds. There was a large tent where these boys were to be processed through the tent, set free to join their loved ones. Thousands and thousands of people behind an iron railing waiting to greet their loved ones. But down on the dock, there was a little group of about 35 or 40 people had been let in for some reason, but they were held back by a portable wooden fence. At last, the men started to unload. We were living it with them. We were going home. And we watched these boys, and I tell you, it was a most moving thing. One big fellow got to the bottom of the gangplank, and he started to dance around in circles. Liberty! No longer a prisoner. Free at last. One fellow got to the bottom of the gangplank, threw his kit bag down, threw himself down all his length, and kissed the cobblestones. Home. Sweet home.
but one that touched our hearts, a stocky lad with two kit bags, stepped onto the gangplank. Two military police were at the bottom, directing them to the tent. As he got halfway down the gangplank, when from this little knot of people over here came the shout of a name, Antonio! The boy looked down, and he was a man, waving his arms. The boy saw me, dropped his kit bags right there on the gangplank, and he started to run down the bouncing gangplank. The police tried to stop him and direct him. He broke right past the police. He ran for the fence. The fence couldn't stop him. He took a flying leap right over the fence, got his arms around the neck of that man, and we heard them weep for joy. What do you think he was thinking of in that moment? Liberty, no longer a prisoner. Home, sweet home, the olive groves, the sunshine, the Mediterranean, I don't think so. I think what filled his heart at that moment was the man he loved. Beloved, it's going to be something one of these days. It will be a very ordinary day. Just like today. Perhaps just setting the table for breakfast. Getting into the car to go to work, putting your key in the ignition. Or just opening your school books and spreading them out to get some work done. Walking down Main Street to pick up a few groceries. Put your left foot down on Main Street and your right foot down in the glory. And we'll be home. Forever with the Lord. It's really going to happen, you know. And when we arrive there, what do you think we'll be thinking about? Liberty? Free at last? From this failing press, that miserable clock, and all the things that restrain us? I don't think so. Home, the verdant hills of glory, fragrance of heaven? I don't think so. I think what will fill our gaze will be the man we love. Beloved, you're going to take, for the very first time, your first long, loving look into the face of the Lord Jesus, your Savior. Who died for you, who saved you, who has kept you and blessed you. You're going to hear his golden voice. Welcome you home. I was walking through a factory one day where I used to work, and I walk rather quickly usually. I turned a corner and I almost collided with a man who was walking just as quickly the other way. We stood at the corner just into the park looking into each other's face, and it was an older brother from the assembly who worked there. And we smiled at each other. I'll never forget what he did. He put his hands on my shoulder, looked into my eyes, and he said, "Face to face shall I behold him. Face to face, what will it be?" One of these days it's really going to happen. But we shall see him face to face. That is the supreme blessing of heaven. And as we see him, we shall be changed and we shall be like him forever and forever. Never to grieve him ever again, ever to bless him, to serve him, to praise him, and to be with him. If you are not saved, I am so sorry. If you are religious and think you're going to make it, do not be deceived. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy or girl cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to be in heaven, then you must have your sins forgiven. May the Lord encourage us in the blessed hope. It cannot be long The Lord is going to surprise us one of these days. And we're out of here into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Shall we pray? Father, as we bow personally and individually in thy holy presence as thy little children, we thank thee for the blessed hope. Many days are dark for thy saints, and many are painful. The way has not been easy, and the road has been rough. Doubts and fears, and Lord, we confess much failure and sin. But always thank thee that there will come a moment when thou wilt say to the Son, my Son, go and get her, and he will come for his bride. All of us who are saved by grace, by simply trusting in the Lord Jesus, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be caught up to be forever with the Lord. Oh, what a blessed hope. We pray that this hope, with beams most cheering, will illumine the night and keep us going on for thee until we see his lovely face. Father, as we think of the past week and all that has been said over this desk, we remember it is written, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. If anything has been said, implied, or imparted by any means that has not been energized by thy Holy Spirit, we pray thou wilt remove it from the minds and hearts of all and the effect of it from our lives, that only thy pure word may remain to work out its purpose in all our lives. We pray for that young woman, young believer. We thank thee for them, Lord. Individually, we lift them up to thee. For that young man, young believer, Lord, we just commend these young men to thee. Oh, Lord, protect them, keep them, shelter them, use them as a light in this dark world and as the salt against this corruption. For the boys and girls who are Christians, God bless them and care for them. For parents seeking to raise them for God, give them wisdom. For those of us who are older, God help us not to be fools in our old age, but that we might be examples to the flock. Lord Jesus, we bow to thee, blessed Savior. We bow in wonder and in adoration that ever thou couldst love us, enough to die for us, and bear our sins in thine own precious body. Lord Jesus, we give thee our thanks, individually from our own hearts. Help us so to live, that in all our ways we may please thee, and that thou would be glorified in our lives, and that we may, by thy grace, attract others to thee. If it could be there is someone sitting here tonight who has never, for the very first time, acknowledged their sin and come to thee for salvation, we pray that this will be the moment of opportunity. They will not let this evening go by without exercising simple faith in the Lord Jesus, that there will be no one missing of us in that glorious day in heaven. What a wonderful thing. One day if we should meet on a corner of heaven and remember this night and praise thee for all thy grace to us. We thank thee for the blessed hope. And now as we commend one another to thee, tomorrow, most of us moving all in our directions, home, here and there, grant thy gracious, tender care to protect us.
And Father, we thank thee again for the blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. In his precious name. Amen. I'd like to sing that hymn with you, please. Number